I went from this good little Christian girl to this wild thing. The addiction of pills, alcohol, promiscuity. Pills became part of my life due to migraine headaches. My first migraine was at the age of 10. But by the time I became 21, that is then when I went to see a neurologist, and I was given medications to help. And it does help. It does help. It makes the pain go away. When I was freed of the pain of migraine headaches, I realized the feeling that these painkillers gave me. It's a feeling of like utopia. It's just, you feel great. Nothing bothers you. And the hold that it has on you is that it's just, one is not enough. So then you go to two. Two is not enough because you see, you become addicted. It's the disease of addiction.
Welcome to Unhooked. My name is Pastor Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Kitty, and today we're going to be talking about prescription drug abuse.
Yeah, and today we have with us as our guest, Dr. John Buchholz. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Kitty.
Yes, thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about what are the most commonly used prescription drugs and why is that increasing in our communities?
Well, first, you know, what is a prescription drug? We often talk about drugs. We call them medicines. They come from, many times, they're derived from plant sources. And then they become a medicine when they're prescribed to you by a physician. And they're used to treat and diagnose disease conditions. The side effects of some of these drugs, they're known to cause pleasurable effects. And individuals seek pleasure. We engage in pleasure-seeking behavior all the time. When you experience a pleasurable effect of the drug, that is up to a point where an individual can actually start to repeat the usage over and over again. Why is it increasing? Well, it's really not increasing in terms of percentage of the population. As our population grows, yes, more and more people will develop addictions and abuse problems. However, it remains at about, it's really remarkably constant, about 7 to 10% of the population will abuse drugs. So if you had 100 million people, 7 to 10 million will approximately be addicted at any one time. Most people don't ever start with the intention of abusing their medications, but these repeatable, pleasurable effects that occur over and over again, they can start begin to abuse the prescription drugs.
Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the most commonly abused prescription drugs?
First of all, the most common ones that you see are ones that are prescribed for anxiety disorders. They're called benzodiazepines. You know them as Valium and Xanax. Mm. Pain medications. We've heard of OxyContin, codeine. These are also abused medications. These drugs are utilized in the prevention and dealing with anxiety and stress disorders as well as pain. And so they become, and that they are also very, they're pleasurable reinforcing drugs. The interesting thing about a person that becomes addicted, the brain remembers what pleasures it. And so this is why when a person is addicted, why they must be removed from the drugs and never take them again. Because they will go right back to their previous abuse pattern. In the case of alcohol, which is all ubiquitous, it's everywhere, and anyone over 21 can get it. When a person gets over an alcohol addiction, you can never ever say, oh honey, I would like a glass of wine now, I'm okay. You will go right back to the original, to the addiction or abuse behavior that occurred before. We define drug addiction as the desire to obtain and use the drugs without regards to the social consequences, personal consequences, and consequences to the family.
And so it sounds like you can do that also with prescription drugs, not just the illegal drugs. What are some warning signs if somebody is abusing a prescription drug? How would I know that?
You know, it depends on the drugs themselves. The ones I just talked about, the Xanax and Valium, it produces a sleepy, a sleep-like state. They call a sleepy high. And obviously slurred speech, problems. Actually, if they're abusing the drugs, if they're not on them, their sleep patterns will become very abnormal. They'll be staying awake at abnormal times. They'll be sleeping at abnormal times. In pain, pain prescription drugs, what'll happen is that if they're really addicted to a narcotic, within 4 to 6 hours after the previous dose, they're going to start developing cramping, agitation. They become very aggressive, hypersensitive to pain and light, and these all go away once they achieve their next dose.
But is that a side effect of using it in a prescription sort of way, or would I know that they're abusing the drug now when I see these things?
Well, that's a really good question and very difficult to answer, because sometimes a person that's going to use a pain medication, if they've got cancer or some other life-threatening disease and they're probably going to die from that disease, it is immoral for a physician to withhold the pain medication, knowing that he will actually create an addiction in that patient. We call that mercy. It will addict them, and they will be on it until their life has ceased. But in the other cases where it's not life-threatening, to allow continue to prescribe medications for pain and not have any other avenues of dealing with the medical condition is also not a good thing. The physician and the patient must engage in what we call their own therapy. If, for example, you go in and they say, "Doctor, I'm anxious. I'm having such trouble in my home." Okay, what you want to know is, are they under work duress at work? Are they having financial problems? Is there marital stress and discord? Oftentimes, counseling and more healthful living is a better way than simply writing a prescription. Oftentimes, people want to take the shortcut out, what we call the shortcut, and they want to take prescription drugs as opposed to dealing with the real issues.
It's interesting. You see stories in the media talking about people who are addicted to prescription drugs and so forth, and it's just, there's so many people, housewives and different people from different walks of life. Why are people so susceptible to prescription drugs?
Well, for one thing, it's their availability. Because someone in the family is getting them for a legitimate medical reason, and somebody else, because of the things I just described, marital stress, discord, disharmony within the family itself, will oftentimes lead them to get the drugs because it's an escape. I mean, people can use alcohol to escape also. And they forget their problems for a time, but the problems then come back to them, obviously, when the drugs wear off. And when you mention who, housewives, anybody has the potential. You, me. I have a DEA license for research, and I have access. I tell the medical students, you have access. And just because you're educated, you think you can modulate your own use, you'll become as addicted as the next person. And it happens every single class that goes through, whether medical, dental, someone in there will develop a drug abuse problem.
Yeah, someone from any walk of life can really get wrapped up
Absolutely.
Into drug abuse.
Absolutely. None of us are immune from this.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Fast forward 50 years, I had married 3 men, 3 different Jewish men. I had a son by the first husband, who I adore. And I had good jobs, but the drinking escalated and the painkillers, of which I was taking from my husband. He had had surgery, and he wasn't taking his pills. I noticed he wasn't taking them. So I said, "Why aren't you taking your pills?" He said, "I'm not in pain." I said, "Well, I am." And I took his pills and I was off running with Percodan, Vicodin, Valium, uppers and downers, my little cocktail mix. that helped me to function, but I knew something was wrong. You know, my dignity was at stake. I had lost my dignity. I didn't want to stop. But what happened was, I was so addicted, I would get up in the middle of the night and start shaking because I was trying to control it. I didn't want to end up in jail. I didn't want to end up with a DUI. I don't like losing control. And you know, I had lost control. And I wanted to be free, to be who I really was and not be controlled by substances. I went to a detox center and I decided never, ever to go through that again. For me, it was the most painful experience, both physically as well as emotionally. And you no longer have this feeling of utopia. You did. The first time I went out without my little pill bottle, I felt lost. I felt, you know, how am I going to handle this by myself? You know, fearful at the end of the 30 days, how is this going to work out? I went for a whole year after that. I went as an outpatient. It was hell. That's really the best way of describing it. I'm so happy to be free of that. It's a freedom.
Welcome back to Unhooked. We're talking about prescription drug addiction. And Dr. John, can you talk to us a little bit about where teenagers are getting some of these drugs from?
Well, the most common place that you're going to get them is right at home. For example, prescription drugs can be obtained by any adult with a prescribed from a physician. And also, alcohol can be purchased by any adult over 21. In homes where alcohol is used in moderate amounts, teenagers generally know where the alcohol cabinet is. And we've also heard of the pervasive party where a bunch of them get together, they know where it is, and things get out of hand. People drink and drive, they get injured or worse, they can be killed in an automobile accident. Kids get them from a parent that has had maybe a recent operation, OxyContin, codeine, or an oral surgery, and they're curious, they're pleasure-seeking individuals, and they try the drugs, they like it, they like the way it makes them feel, and then they can begin a systematic abuse of them. In the case of alcohol, it's everywhere, and kids can get it in the home. Some kids get it in their grandparents' house. Now, grandparents, as we age, we develop issues of insomnia. The old saying, we're climbing the walls or walking the floors late at night, and sometimes Xanax or Valium will be prescribed because of a sleep issue. Their physician needs to be very careful in determining that they might have an underlying sleep disorder before they prescribe it. But in older people, there's chronic arthritis, chronic pain. And so prescription drugs such as codeine, OxyContin, in that class, they'll have them in their house. So grandparents and parents have to be very aware of their prescription drugs. A good thing to do is, if you're using them, is count the pills. Because a sudden drop in the pill number, and then you remember, well, a junior and his sister were over at the house, that can be an indicator that they're actually taking the drugs. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, as you were talking about going into the medicine cabinet, and there's several drugs there. In her story, Evie was talking about what she called a cocktail.
Yes.
Is that something that is commonly done?
It's really interesting. We're going to talk a little about cross addiction. The cocktail she's speaking of is, let's just say a person really likes uppers, okay, like amphetamines, and now it's an illicit drug, but they'll use a cocktail because the amphetamine makes them feel wide awake. It's a pleasure of a pleasurable effect. They don't have to sleep. They can get a lot more done. Now, to add to that cocktail is that now you need to sleep. Now they'll begin abusing Valium or Xanax to bring them down, or they'll begin to abuse alcohol. Oftentimes, an illicit drug like cocaine, people will, because it's an agitator, it's an upper, they will then begin to abuse alcohol. The mixture of cocaine or an upper with a downer, such as a narcotic, or it's called speedballing.
Can I ask you about the mixing? Because I hear from young people, they say when you go to a party, people pour in whatever they found in the cabinets, and they call it, I think, a cocktail party.
Yes.
So that sounds like it'd be very dangerous. Then.
It's very, very dangerous, because what'll happen is if they're mixing stimulants with depressants, or mixing depressants on top of each other. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, one of my best friends was killed by such a cocktail. And he was the paragon of physical fitness. And what they were doing was they were drinking wine and other alcoholic beverages. And someone said, we have something else that will make this high even better. Well, they had a barbiturate. He took a barbiturate and he was drinking. He fell asleep. His respiration went from normal 15 to 20 breaths per minute down to 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So overdose from the cocktail is really, really a great possibility when you're starting to mix drugs. It's a very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. What are some of the treatment options? What can people do to get help?
Okay, well, first, when you mention that, certain drugs are easier to get off than others. Mm-hmm. Caffeine and nicotine generally doesn't require a medically supervised situation where you have to be medically supervised. However, withdrawal from Xanax or Valium or alcohol requires it, and here's why. When you begin to withdraw, they start to get developing tremors, extreme agitation, violent behavior, and sometimes they will develop uncontrolled convulsions, which can take their life, result in irreversible cardiac arrhythmia. Those require in-house, and they wean them slowly off the drugs, and then they're able to go out into the world and then get into a 12-step program, which are very successful. Mm. On the other hand, codeine or OxyContin, those drugs, they cause very, very nasty side effects. GI cramping, anxiety. You think you're going to die, but you're not. It's very, very tough to get off them, but they're not life-threatening. So with Valium, Xanax, or the depressants, getting off them requires medical supervision first, then your 12-step. Oftentimes with the codeine and the OxyContin, it requires medical supervision too, because the withdrawal effects are so terrible that they have to alleviate those, and then once they alleviate those symptoms, they're able to get into their 12-step program.
Wow. Sounds really difficult, obviously, but is there hope for someone who's struggling in these sorts of addictions?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. The biblical ancients knew well of the effects. You didn't want a drunk king making decisions with regards to its populace. They understood that the Bible often condemns wantonness, wanton, reckless, hubristic behavior. It condemns drunkenness. Okay, it does not. So at Loma Linda, our commission to the students is to make man whole. And at the university, we're talking about trying to develop the reason, the mental, and the physical all in one. Drug addiction has also been called a spiritual struggle. I mean, I've heard it from people that I've had to counsel, students, soldiers. They call it a prison. It's a demon that controls their life. And they, once they get through their medical supervision, their 12-step program, we hear of them casting this demon or this addiction onto the shoulders of God.
So
it's very, very successful.
So they can find freedom and hopefully have a future ahead of them.
Absolutely.
In their careers.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Dr. John. We appreciate you being with us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Unhooked, we'll be right back.
When I decided to not allow pills to dictate my life, I gave up control. And that is when I in turn gave that control to God. I wake up in the morning, I thank Him for my life, I thank Him for the day, and I ask Him to guide me in whatever is involved in that day. And I feel this peace. It's a peace that comes over you when you believe, when you have faith. it's just a whole different ballgame. When I'm angry, I look for something to replace that anger. And when I was using pills, that feeling of utopia that I got from pills made me forget about that anger. Today, as much as the anger is real, I don't need to go to the pills to make me feel better. I go to God. The wonderful part of it is that God intercepted and made all this good come out of all that. I was hooked on these painkillers, and it is such a blessing to be unhooked. The Lord knows. He knows what to do with you. And if you allow Him into your life, which is what I did, I allowed myself to be changed into a different person. But this is the person that I was really meant to be all along. My name is Evie, and I am unhooked.
Hello, friends. Dr. John Buckle just told us about detoxification and the need for that. And I thank God that there are programs that are available to help people physiologically get off of alcohol or whatever drug that they're on. This is extremely important, and Evie was one of those who needed this kind of treatment. Evie learned to survive the pains of her life by turning to alcohol or drugs, or in her case, it was even promiscuity. You know, we tend to look down on people who are addicts, who destroy their lives and the lives of others, or who do things that we think are morally wrong. But I want you to know that there are many people who engage in these things because this is their way of surviving. They've been hurt so deeply. Their pain is so great that what they try to do is mask that pain or cover that pain. So for many people, addiction is a form of survival, even though it ends up destroying us. You know, the Lord wants you to do more than just survive. His plan for your life is a good plan. He wants you to thrive like a flower in the springtime. He wants you to be opened to His grace. He has much more for you than simply settling for a life of getting along, going from day to day, trying to make it in a life of pain. Survival mechanisms He understands, because ever since sin came into the world, I think He allowed us to cope. He allowed us to survive the pains of life. But God is a great God. He has freedom for you. He has a plan for your specific life, a plan that is full of hope and a wonderful future. This is the way to have that plan, by surrendering your life, which includes your addiction, to Him, by understanding that everything that you've done to try and manage your life has not worked up until now. You've tried it, and it hasn't worked. You've tried controlling your addiction. You've made promises to overcome it, to stop it, and they haven't worked. You've faced repeated failure. Your own way of surviving this addiction has not been successful for you. I want you to know today that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. Wonderful freedom, thriving, growth, freedom that you've never known possible, even resurrection life. If this is what you want today, you can get more information about how to break free from habits that hurt by contacting Adventist Recovery Ministries. And for prayer, call 1-888-446-7388. Choose to become unhooked today.